Most sayings that we know and repeat, you know, sayings like, one of the sayings that my mom always used to tell me is that a lazy man ends up having to work twice as hard because you have to do it over again, whatever it is you were doing, or a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And if at first you don't succeed, you must still try. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. And there but for fortune go I. You can go on and on. One of the sayings, and the reason that we have codified them into sayings, is that they hold a very intense truth with a brevity of words. And so they sort of rumble around in our heads every once in a while when we see that truth and recognize the truth. The saying that constantly rumbles around my mind in terms of not only of Christianity, but especially Christmas, is this old saying that goes, familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. Now, the saying became much more meaningful when I decided to do some research into what exactly contempt means. And because before I did the research, contempt had, I always had it in my mind that contempt was a kind of a disgust. You know, if you treat someone with contempt, it's an analogous thing to being disgusted with someone. And when I looked it up and I started seeing different uses of the word, the use that came across, which revealed quite a bit about the word contempt, is when you use it in terms of a legal sense. When a judge says, you are in contempt of court. Now, when you look at what that's actually referring to, it's not referring to you treating the court with disgust. What it's referring to is that the meaning of contempt is that you treat a reality or a person with much less dignity and insight into the importance of what is happening, and you diminish the dignity of whatever you are in contempt of. So it's actually an accusation, whether conscious or unconscious, an accusation of diminished dignity that something ought to have. And ever since I came to that insight, the diminishing of the dignity that something ought to have, or the diminishing of the importance, or something like that. Ever since then, I have been very aware of it during Christmas time and during Advent time. Because Advent in the preparation for Christmas and Christmas itself, it's a joyful time for society as a whole. And believe me, I enjoy it as much as anybody else. The lights and the carols and all the customs that we have. But when you look at it from a perspective of what is actually going on, we meaning our society and sometimes us individually, should be charged with contempt of Christmas. Now, why will we say contempt of Christmas? Because when you really look at it, we have developed, and I say we, meaning our culture, and remember, culture forms you. That's why people are so different in different parts of the world. Culture is the way that we think, what we hold, the values that we hold, the people that we admire, the way we eat, the way we dress, the way we celebrate, that's all culture. And when you're born into a particular culture, you are formed by that culture. And that's why when you meet people of cultures that are very different from ours, they look somewhat bizarre. Because we always think that the way we are formed is normal, and they look totally abnormal to us. But what we have been therefore formed by a culture that is in contempt of Christmas. And let's apply the definition that I used as not giving the due dignity or the due respect and depth to a reality that it justly deserves. And if you think about it, think about what we do in terms of our celebrations of Christmas. First of all, of course, all of us know about the commercialized aspect of the celebrations. But even when we say, okay, that's just business, we reduce the dignity of Christmas to sort of generic family values, you know, and you hear it. I hear it all the time in television, you know, when these Christmas episodes come of your different shows. None of them will say anything about the central dignity of Christmas, but we will sort of water it down. Oh, Christmas is a time of family. Christmas is a time to get together for smiles. I was watching a show last night, and they were always talking about the Christmas spirit. And please understand that I'm not saying those things are wrong. They're contemptuous. But remember how I am defining contemptuous. And contemptuous is when you refuse to give a reality the depth and dignity that it deserves. That's why when you misbehave in court, even if you're falling asleep in court or something like that, the judge will charge you with contempt of court. You don't have to be behaving with disgust. But what we engage in is Christmas reductionism. We reduce Christmas to a sort of a safe pablum that can be sort of poured on anybody. And it's so unobjectionable as to be, I guess, shrugged off. And that's where the contempt is. Now, what is it that we're dealing with, and what ought we be dealing with? What you're dealing with here is a central belief that humankind has been disconnected from its origin, its source, and its reason for existing. We call that God. I always want you to remember, though, that God is not God's name. God, I always, when I teach, I always tell people, God is a category. There are many gods. There are many people who have had many gods. I always like, when I teach kids especially, I say, God is a box. And they look at me strange, and of course, God is a box. Why? Because I can say to all of us here, okay, how many of us believe in God? And like 98% of us would raise our hands. But what if you don't know that about 30 minutes before I got here, I was kneeling before a tree, and I was worshiping that tree, and I was giving sacrifice to that tree, and I was calling that tree my God. And so I would re-ask the question, do I believe in God? And the answer is, yes. But my God happens to be a tree. Notice I'm using the same word. And so the word is actually a container. A container for what? Well, that's what different religions and different customs and cultures bring about, an understanding of who this ultimate reality is. What we Christians are celebrating is something that has never been heard of before, and that is that we have been disconnected from our origin, our source, what gives us meaning in life. And one of two things has to happen. We either get reconnected or we die. That's why Jesus used the example of a branch cut off from a tree. If you remove a branch from a tree, you don't see the difference immediately. You can go to any tree and cut off a branch or even a leaf, and you can set it on the table and you see, it's okay. Nothing's gone wrong. Except if you take the, let it be there for a while, because the decomposition occurs slowly. There's no time at which you could walk up to that leaf or that branch and say, aha, I caught you rotting. You can't, because it happens so slowly and so microscopically over time that you don't know exactly when it's happening. Well, that's what happens to humankind. Humankind lives under the delusion that I'm okay and you're okay. We live under the delusion that we're in charge. And we live under the delusion that since I'm happy today and I'm doing okay and we have great food waiting at home and good TV shows and I've got good medical care and I live in an air conditioned or a heated house, that everything is okay. Except that is an illusion, because it only lasts for a while until something happens. And we live constantly under what I always consider what's called the sword of Damocles, the sword that is right above you, and at any time the string that is holding it could be cut and it'll fall right on you. That's why we worry, for example. When I was a kid, I still remember as a 7-8-year-old that I would worry whenever my parents didn't come home at the exact time. And, of course, I learned that I didn't have to, but that worry, and it still happens to me today, I tend to be with people I love, I tend to be a worrywart. But It's actually, it can get out of control, but it's actually an insight. It's an insight that anybody that you love and yourself could be taken away from you in an instant, and that you have no control over it. And that fills all of us with a dread that we try not to think about too often, because it would paralyze you, and you couldn't, because you couldn't live. And so the reason why, how is this connected to Christmas? It's connected because what is actually being celebrated is our rescue. You know, we use the word salvation. I almost don't want to use that word anymore. We are being, this is the story of our rescue. And when you're rescued, you don't know that you need to be rescued until you know that you're in trouble. If you don't know you're in trouble, rescue doesn't mean anything. And for most of us, for a lot of us, we live under the illusion that we don't need to be rescued. Therefore, when the rescue starts, we treat it as, oh, isn't that cute? Yeah, it's beautiful, a little cute. Look at the little fire truck. They come, aren't the firemen nice? They come to rescue us. But, Mr. Fireman, we're okay. We don't need you. And so you treat the firemen or whatever other rescue unit comes out with a little contempt. Now, remember what contempt is. Is you don't need them, so they're not that important. And that's what happens to us at Christmas. Not only Christmas, but Easter. I mean, can you imagine if you really believed that a human being had risen from the dead? I don't mean resuscitated. They do that at the medical center all the time. But you still got to die again. Okay? When people say, oh, I was dead for 10 minutes. Well, yeah, but you're going to be dead again. Okay. We're talking about not coming back to this life. We're talking about resurrection, going to the other side. Can you imagine really believing that? But you know, that's really hard. And so we treat it with contempt. How do we treat it with contempt? Not in a bad way. We make up a bunny. This is a nice bunny. And the bunny brings us chocolates. Okay? Folks, that's contempt of Easter. That's contempt of Easter. And how do we do contempt? Santa. By the way, he's having pictures with the kids tomorrow, which I always think is interesting. You know, what I want you to understand is Santa's not bad. It's just that if that's all you do, if you don't recognize the depth of what you're preparing for, then that is contempt of Christmas. And so I just invite you, we have 1 week left, and I invite you to take the time to really think through what it is that is happening. What is exactly it is that is happening? Please understand, none of those things that they talk about on TV are bad. You know, about family, about giving, about enjoying being together. All of those things are good. But if there's nothing else, then it becomes contemptuous, because we do not give the needed gravity importance to what is actually happening. We are, and you saw it in the first reading, where God begins his plan and he begins to reveal his plan more and more. The virgin shall bear a child. Notice that the source is not us. We can't save ourselves. It's God beginning to plan the rescue and use human beings to orchestrate the rescue. And when it comes to the beginning of the rescue with the Immaculate Conception, with Mary being born without sin, that's God already setting the stage for the rescue. And then you see Mary being told and Joseph having to make his decisions. You see the whole drama unfolding And who is it being directed by? Not us. It's being directed by God Himself. And that is our rescue. And so that's what it would mean to have respect for Christmas. I always remember, too, I always like to use the word respect. Because the word respect, as many of you know, I love etymologies. And respect is a very simple little word. But it means, whenever you have re in front of anything, R-E, it always means do it again. Like repaint and re-clean. Spec is a variation of a word which means to look. And so to respect means look again. And why do you need to look again? Because the first time you looked, you only saw it superficially, in contempt. And when a judge says, if you don't watch it, you're going to be in contempt of court, he's saying, you better respect what's going on here in this court, because it's a lot deeper than the superficiality with which you're treating it. And so, respect Christmas. And how do you respect Christmas? Not by being somber or doing, you know, stupid stuff like that. You respect Christmas by taking the time to look again at the reason that we are celebrating. Look again at God coming to our rescue. Because without Him coming to our rescue, folks, even though it doesn't happen like that, without Him coming to our rescue, we're dead meat. Literally, dead meat. Christmas, respect Christmas, and be careful of not being charged with being in contempt of Christmas.